Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. As has been said, this show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This is a no-holds-barred show. My guests will have differing spiritual belief systems, and some will have no spiritual beliefs. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. What I'd ask you to do is keep an open mind. This way you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now today I have a special guest, Tom Palladino, and Tom is an expert in the area of scalar energy. His research and work with scalar energy began during his undergraduate years, and he was inspired by various scientists, Hieronymus, Morey, Priori, and especially Nikola Tesla, as the existence of an energy that is not of the electromagnetic spectrum. With this inspiration, he pursued a course of independent study in order to better understand and subsequently harness scalar energy. He developed a treatment process whereby he is able to administer the scalar energy reverse phase angle harmonic of a pathogen, thereby causing that agent of infection to disassemble or fall apart. His pathogen cleanse dissembles over 25,000 pathogens for humans and animals. The nutrient therapy delivers 231 essential nutrients to the cells of humans and animals. The chakra balance harmonizes the body for humans and animals. So with that amazing information, we're going to move into introducing Tom and getting right down into a discussion about scalar energy. Tom, how are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you for the invite, David.
Well, it's my pleasure, and double my pleasure, or triple my pleasure, because both Brenda Pierce and Paula Gwinnan had recommended you to me, and I'm so grateful that they did. Now, you started doing work with scalar energy during your undergraduate years. Where did you go to school?
That's correct. I attended a few universities. One was Westminster College, another on the West Coast in San Diego. And in between, I've been conducting a lot of private independent study. So, I've been immersed in a book most of my life.
And how did you become aware of scalar energy, and what spiked your interest about it?
That really, the crossroads in my life in that case was Nikola Tesla. Many of you have heard of this great scientist, Nikola Tesla. Tesla, in my estimation, was not only the father of AC electricity, he really was the pioneer behind scalar energy. So as a youngster, I began to read Nikola Tesla and his discoveries, his theories, and his subsequent inventions, and I became convinced that the latter part of his life, he was working with scalar energy, and on account of that, he was performing incredible feats. He was able to achieve what nobody else had ever been able to achieve. Well, I saw that as an opportunity, and I wanted to model my scientific career after that. So I would say Tesla, without a doubt, was the launching pad for my interest in scalar energy.
Now, what exactly is scalar energy? I know it's known by a lot of different names, but maybe you could enlighten us about that.
Scalar energy is, we're all familiar with it because it's everywhere around us. Some people call scalar energy prana or chi. Some refer to it as zero-point energy. Others might refer to it as intuition or pyramid energy. Scalar energy originates from the sun of our solar system, the stars of the universe. That is the point of origin of all energy. And scalar energy is, if you will, the initial energy of the universe. From scalar energy is derived electricity and magnetism. But all stars in the universe, initially, that energy, that primal force is scalar energy. And that's what I find so fascinating, that scalar energy is the source of life. It is indeed the force behind the entire universe. Electricity and magnetism are simply a subset, they're a derivation, if you will, of scalar energy.
Well, I'm interested in what you were saying about intuition. What is the relationship between scalar energy and intuition? It sounds like you made almost a direct correlation to the two.
I would say intuition is caused by scalar energy. Intuition is a function of scalar energy. Why? Well, scalar energy is not only fire and heat, so to speak. Scalar energy is intelligence. Scalar energy is information. And many people who have intuition have this ability to broadcast or to assimilate scalar energy. So intuition is really a function of scalar energy. We'll get into that. We'll see just how broad-scoped this approach is. Scalar energy is the life force, is the animating principle behind everything in the universe, including intuition.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about the treatment process that you developed?
Sure. I have developed scalar energy instruments. And with those instruments, I'm able to control matter. I'm able to either assemble a molecular state or disassemble a molecular state. Now, with that said, I've perfected a technique whereby I can take scalar energy and I can disassemble the molecular state of a germ, of a pathogen. It's very fascinating. It offers great promise to mankind. What I have discovered and what I have been able to reproduce rather routinely now is scalar energy will disassemble viruses, bacteria, fungi, protozoan. Now let your mind expand for a minute. If that's true and accurate, then we have within our reach the means to either cure or prevent pathogenic disease. And that's the statement that I will stand by. Scalar energy one day will allow us, will show us the way that we can eradicate the causative agent, the underlying cause of what? Pathogenic infection. If you can remove the causative agent, then yes, it opens the door to being able to cure and to prevent pathogenic disease.
Well, with that said, I'm wondering why I've never heard about scalar energy before. This is brand new, eye-opening material to me.
Yes, it is. Yes. You know, just consider, take the herpes 1 virus, which is easily transmissible by sharing a common drinking cup or by kissing, etc. Approximately 60% of the adult world population has the herpes 1 virus. Now, in many people, it is latent. It's not necessarily an active infection, but nevertheless, people around the world have these common germs. And my experience is that scalar energy is the means to break apart, to disassemble, and eradicate those germs. So if we use scalar energy properly, then essentially we can address this infection, herpes 1 infection. Why? Most people in the world, most of the adult population is infected with herpes simplex 1. Imagine what that means and where we're going with this, that scalar energy will allow us to painlessly almost routinely eradicate these germs. Well, who's to benefit?
Wow.
Well, in this case, 60% of the adult world population could benefit by scalar energy.
And this can apply to bacterial as well as viral conditions?
Yes, yes, exactly. The technique that I've developed, David, it will suffice to say that I'm able now to deconstruct the molecular constitution, the molecular structure of any microorganism, whether it's a virus, a bacterium, a fungus, or a protozoan. My scalar energy instrument is that attuned. I've perfected the technique to the point I can say without equivocation that I can now routinely disassemble those microorganisms and indeed eradicate them so that they are no longer a threat to human health.
Have you been able to do this with actual human subjects?
Yes, yes. Actually, with my website, I've opened it up to the general public. I am now treating people with scalar energy, and I am achieving phenomenal results, incredible results.
Now,
I am able to disassemble germs inside the human body.
What kinds of results have you had, and what kinds of illnesses have you worked with?
I've worked with pathogenic infection in specific. That's my mainstay. And I would say I've worked with all types of infection, whether they're to be considered bacterial in nature, fungal in nature, viral in nature. I've been able to eradicate, once again, to disassemble the causative agent of disease. And invariably, the people that I work with, many of them, I would say the greater majority, feel better, that their health improves after 1 month of treatment. And many of those people have gone on to corroborate my theory, to substantiate my claim, which is after being treated with scalar energy, some people have gone as far as to have a viral load test conducted, a DNA test, or as some people might call it, a polymerase chain reaction test. And in so doing, those tests come back negative. I recently had two individuals in the past week have told me that their herpes viral load was undetectable. For the first time in years, there is no detection, there is no viral load to be detected by this DNA testing or the polymerase chain reaction test. That,
wow,
frankly,
have you ever tried it with individuals with HIV disease?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. This past year, one individual came forward and he told me after being treated with scalar energy, he had a polymerase chain reaction test, and it rendered no detection whatsoever of the HIV virus. Now, frankly, none of this surprises me. Frankly, this has become routine. And the reason I can say that, and I'm not trying to be cavalier, scalar energy is a fundamental force in nature. Well, as such, I'm able with scalar energy to routinely, once again, to break apart germs. And I firmly believe this is about to be accepted, to be embraced by mankind. I believe 2015 will be the year that people understand that there's another type of energy, scalar energy, and that we can use that energy to our benefit, and that in essence, what I'm saying I can prove by virtue of the fact that I'm having such phenomenal results treating out pathogenic infection. This indeed is a reality. It's no longer a matter of theory. In practice, we're able to use scalar energy to eradicate germs.
Well, before we go further, why don't you let people know what your website is and how they can get in touch with you? And I'm going to repeat that at the end of the program in case people tune in later or don't copy it down.
Sure. My website is selfhealgo.com. Visit the website. If you have any questions, you can write an email. Either I will answer it or one of the staff members will answer it. We look forward to your correspondence. I also have written probably 200 to 300 articles about scalar energy and my results, and those will be found likewise on the website. So a lot of information there for you to digest and to consider.
Well, I have been trying to digest the information, and excuse me if you've already answered this. My mind has been a little boggled by some of the information you've been sharing. How does it actually disassemble the pathogens?
Sure. Let's first start with an analogy. Some people have a trained voice. Vocalists are so in command of their voice that they can shatter glass. Now, that's been proven. Some opera singers, they can actually sing the same resonating frequency that a wine glass possesses and actually shatter that wine glass with their voice.
Right.
Well, I do the same thing with scalar energy. I identify the, if you will, the harmonic, the scalar energy harmonic of a germ, and then I simply broadcast what would be considered the reverse angle back into that germ. And the germ then what? Deconstructs. You're telling that germ to break apart its bonds. The molecular bonds are deconstructed. You're reducing that germ to a state of chaos. And it's very simple and quite effective. And once again, how can we do this? How is this so simple, so painless? By controlling the fundamental force in nature that's responsible for physical forms. Scalar energy is the intelligence behind all geometry, including that of a germ, of a pathogen. So if we can reverse that geometry, if we can send back the reverse phase angle, we can disassemble any germ, any pathogen. In the future, it will be shown that scalar energy is the highway, is the doorstep, if you will, that will introduce to us the means to eradicate disease by way of this primal force in nature.
So it could be used with cancers?
I believe scalar energy as an intelligence will allow us to correct the genetic code. There was a scalar energy researcher back in the 50s and 60s by the name of Antoine Priori. And he was a Frenchman, and he was routinely curing people as well as animals of cancer. And it was just fascinating what he was doing, to the point that the French government subsidized him for a while. Well, his research never really took off. I think it was intimidating to the powers that be. My point is this. This man, Priori, working in France at that time, was able, with scalar energy, to correct the human genome. He was able to correct mutation. And then the sequence of that is to be able to cure neoplastic tissue, to cure cancer. I believe scalar energy in the future will prove to be the means whereby we can correct not only genetic dysfunction, but also cancer.
Now, again, I'm trying to absorb this. Is it possible for an individual to access scalar energy on their own? I mean, I've heard of prana and chi, and, you know, I've heard of spontaneous remissions. Dr. Bernie Siegel believes that it's not the physician, but the patient that does the healing. And, of course, you know, that's something that is big in Scripture, that, you know, faith heals. Can the individual access scalar energy?
Of course. We all do it. First of all, scalar energy is created by God. It's all around us. Scalar energy originates from the sun of our solar system, the stars of the universe. Nevertheless, everything in the universe is awash with scalar energy. We are living in a sea of scalar energy. Now, in specific, what is scalar energy to a human being? Well, the human soul is composed of this scalar light. Everybody has a soul. And it is the soul that is our center point of our spiritual being. My contention is that soul is composed of scalar light, scalar energy. Furthermore, I believe our thoughts, thinking is a function of scalar energy. Scalar energy is intelligence. So every time we think, we are what? Broadcasting scalar energy. Our emotions are likewise a function of scalar energy. Now keep in mind, scalar energy is not just a lot of heat out in the distance by way of a star. Scalar energy is intelligence. And that intelligence is from God is found in our soul, our mind, our emotions. Scalar energy is, again, this life force energy, this primal force of energy that's all around us. We simply haven't fathomed that we are indeed working within this scalar energy environment. We are. Human beings work with scalar energy routinely. Frankly, scalar energy provides us our life force. We could not survive without this information, this intelligence from God. We're all intimate with scalar energy. We just don't realize how intimate we are.
Well, now that scalar energy vis-a-vis intelligence and emotions, what we put out, we seem to get in return. Can that explain how people are able to manifest results that they desire in their lives?
Exactly. Exactly. Why? Because that manifestation serves as the blueprint, as the intelligence. And then from there follows simply the effect, the sequent, which is the realization of that manifestation. So yes, let's look at it this way. If you're going to build something, a school, a church, etc., you have to have blueprints, architectural blueprints. There's an intelligence that precedes the actual construction of a building. Well, likewise with the universe. We have intelligence. It's intelligence from God. What are the blueprints of God? The blueprints of God are scalar energy. That is the intelligence of the universe. And hence, many people have learned to access this intelligence, some more than others. We can call that manifestation. And yes, that serves as the blueprints, as the guiding spirit behind any design in life. And indeed, some people are more adept at using that manifestation. And then from that point, it's simply cause and effect. If you can manifest something and pray upon it and dwell upon it, then ultimately it does indeed become a reality.
So that would testify to people who do not believe in spirit but believe in the power of positive thinking. That's another way of looking at it.
Yes, it is.
You sound like a very spiritual man. You've talked about God several times. Do you believe that scalar energy can somehow be used to prove the existence of the soul?
Yes. Yes, I do. I believe the human soul is immortal. And why would I say that? Well, not only because of a theological underpinning in my life, but what I've observed with scalar energy. Now, scalar energy does not experience entropy. It does not weaken. There's no decay. Well, likewise, our soul is immortal. Our soul does not experience entropy, any type of decay or degradation. The human soul is immortal. Scalar energy is likewise an immortal energy, if you will. Scalar energy never degrades. Unlike electricity and magnetism that experience this weakness, this degradation, not so with scalar energy. Scalar energy is a eternal divine energy. I firmly believe scalar energy is a direct manifestation from God. Now, to further that, if you look in the Old Testament, I think there was a wonderful example of scalar energy. And most people, they missed it. But it's right there in front of their eyes. The Ark of the Covenant was a scalar energy instrument. The Ark of the Covenant was the presence of God. And many people have said the Ark of the Covenant would produce incredible light or incredible healing power. Well, how is that? How is this rectangular box able to do so? It carried, if you will, the essence of God. The essence of God is scalar energy. Now, that doesn't detract from Moses and the Israelites. Simply stated, God wanted to show his presence. The Ark of the Covenant was the means that God wanted to show his presence amongst his people. But nevertheless, the energy that was that emanated from the Ark of the Covenant was scalar energy. And that doesn't detract, again, from any of the mysteries of God. God works hand in hand with creation. So our first example of scalar energy was the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant broadcast scalar energy.
Now, when you talked about how scalar energy does not allow degradation, can that somehow be used to prolong our lives? Is it possible
Yes.
for us to become immortal in our bodies?
I would say this, that I believe there is a heaven. I have a Christian background. I believe there
mm-hmm.
is a heaven, and that heaven is 100% scalar energy. In other words, once again, God works hand in hand with nature. How does God impart perfection? How does God impart immortality? Perfection is imparted by way of perfect scalar energy. Immortality is imparted by way of this immortal energy, scalar energy. I believe there is a heaven, and that abode of the blessed is 100% scalar energy. There's no electricity in heaven, so to speak. The perfect state is the scalar energy state. The perfect dimension is a scalar energy dimension. Sadly, in this world, we live in an electromagnetic dimension where the effect of scalar energy is weakened, attenuated. Not so in heaven. In heaven, you have only scalar energy, scalar light. That is the perfect steady state, the perfect state in which there is perfect intelligence, perfect happiness, perfect union with God. As such, heaven is a complete, is a consummate scalar energy environment, and on account of that fact, we have a perfected state. Our soul is perfected. We have eternal life. As we know, there's no degradation or old age in heaven. It's impossible. You cannot age in a perfect scalar energy dimension. You cannot experience disease in a perfect scalar energy environment. Why? There's perfect information. If your body has perfect information, there cannot be disease. There cannot be degradation. So in a theological standpoint, as well as trying to marry that, if you will, with a scientific perspective, scalar energy is the perfect state for soul, mind, and body.
Well, I'm going to harp on this a little bit because I wasn't you explained some things to me that I was going to ask you about, but I'm wondering if it can be used to help reverse the aging process or to slow it down.
I believe so. And this,
yeah.
this is what I've understood, at least theoretically. Scalar energy is a double helix, simply stated. Rotate that double helix in one fashion, and it is the cause of time. Time will move forward. Reverse that double helix, and time will move backwards. Now, there have been some scalar energy researchers that have observed the stars, and they have concluded that the stars, the center point now of scalar energy, are responsible for time. So scalar energy is the cause of time. Scalar energy is responsible for the flow of time. If we could reverse scalar energy, we would go back in time. Yes, we could reverse aging. We could go back in time and become younger. That is possible.
Wow.
On the
subject of time, many spiritual people maintain that it does not move in a linear fashion as we perceive it, but that all time is occurring at the same point in time. What do you think about that?
Yes, I do. If God has proclaimed himself as the I am, and in so doing, God has said that all time dimension rests upon him. For God, there is no past, there is no future. Everything is in the present moment. I agree with that. For God, the omnipotent one, there is no past, there is no future, there is only the present moment. Hence, all time references are in the present moment in a perfect scalar energy dimension. Heaven is that perfect dimension. Those who enjoy heaven, the blessed, experience the present moment. There is no past. There is no future. Everything is incorporated into that one point in time. Now, to further that, that doesn't negate the past or the present. In a scalar energy force field, you experience all time frames as one moment in time. It really lends itself to a holographic universe. But in a true scalar energy dimension, there is no past, there is no future. All time, I'll say that again, all time frames are incorporated into the present moment.
We do have a caller, and we will take that call in just a moment. And thank you for calling in, area code 951. Before we move on, you talked about scalar energy as opposed to electromagnetic energy. Could you clarify what the difference between those two energy sources are?
Sure. It's very simple. If all energy in the universe originates as scalar energy, hence all energy is a double helix. Now, in some environments, scalar energy will degrade into electricity and magnetism. So if you could imagine scalar energy is as if two corkscrews were intertwined. Well, if you were to take those two corkscrews and separate them, then one dimension, one waveform would be electricity, and the other waveform would move in a perpendicular fashion to electricity as magnetism. It's as simple as that. So to reiterate, everything originates as scalar energy as a double helix. Scalar energy will decouple in some environments into electricity and magnetism. It is magnetism, it is electricity that is inferior energy. Electricity and magnetism do weaken. They do experience entropy. They do experience this state of degradation.
Okay. Would you like to take a call, Tom?
Please.
Okay. Okay, I have our caller on the line, area code 951. Who am I speaking with, please?
Hi, my name's Lori. I was listening in, and the show page kept going in repeat, so I called in to listen.
Oh,
really,
okay. Have you had a chance to hear much of the discussion so far?
I tuned in a little late, and they were is talking about the way he destroyed bacteria, and then it kept repeating.
Oh my gosh! That I'm sorry to hear that. When you called in, did it do that too?
No, not once I called in. I was listening on the phone. It seemed fine.
Okay. Well, that's good. Certainly, Tom, just to reassure you, most of our listeners, 99% of them, hear the broadcast in podcast form.
Yes.
And so we generally do not have a lot of live listeners. Most get to listen to it at a later point in time on one of the networks that it's archived on,
sure,
including
sure,
freespiritbroadcasting.com. Lori, did you have any questions for Tom before we move on?
Where does the energy derive from? Where does it come from?
Good question. All scalar energy originates from the sun of our solar system and the stars. And if you look at it in that perspective, yes, all energy in the universe starts as light, as energy. Well,
right,
what's the point of energy, of that energy? It's the stars. Mm-hmm. So scalar energy is all around us. Scalar energy is sunlight and starlight. We simply don't realize that there's two energies. Yes, there's a lot of electricity, of course. It's all around us, but so is scalar energy. We just haven't grasped that notion that there's two energies. That's what I'm trying to achieve. There's two energies, and scalar energy is far superior to that of electricity.
Mm-hmm. Is it the little...
Well, I'm going to keep on the line, Lori, and if you have any other questions that come up, feel free to interject. Tom, one thing that I'm absolutely amazed at is that you can use scalar energy to treat people by way of their photographs. How in heaven's name does that happen?
Okay. Before I get into that, let's look by way of analogy at two cell phones. Two cell phones can communicate with one another. Yes, a cell phone. Two cell phones can communicate with one another without having some type of physical wire or attachment. How does that how does that work? Well, it's the microwave radiation in between. The atmosphere is filled with this energy, and we simply are able to communicate through this medium. Well, I do the same thing with scalar energy. Instead of having a cell phone, I have somebody's photograph. Now, what do I mean by that? A photograph of a person captures their energy, their harmonic. Or let's say that any photograph is a light signature. It's a light impression. If I were to take a photograph of myself, that photograph would have my light incorporated on it. And in so doing, I can take my photograph and actually place it inside a scalar energy instrument. And this scalar energy instrument will send information to me by way of my photograph. Just as two cell phones will share information and find one another. One cell phone will find another cell phone. Or one satellite in outer space will send a signal down to find what? A radio or a TV or a cell phone tower. It all works by that same principle. Energy is intelligent. It can find an object or a person. Well, a scalar energy treatment is effectuated, is realized by way of a photograph of a person. A photograph serves as the informational input for scalar energy to send information, to broadcast information to that person in the photograph.
Wow. How does scalar energy manifest and interact when we're dealing with other people? I trust it's operating at all times.
Yes, it is. Every time we think, whether we're thinking about a person or some other object, it's a scalar energy broadcast. Every time we have a feeling, it's a broadcast of scalar energy. Every time we pray or meditate, it's a broadcast of scalar energy. So you could see how we are, every human being is broadcasting and is expressing scalar energy all the time, 24 hours a day. With that said, people will absorb that energy, will absorb that intelligence. Now, you've heard the expression, say a kind word and it goes a long way. Well, there's a lot of merit to that as far as good emotions and proper behavior, but there's a scientific principle behind that now. A kind word is really a broadcast of scalar energy, and it will have an impression upon the people around you. So our thoughts, the words, what we say, what we speak, our prayers, this has a profound effect not only on us, but on the world. You've heard Jesus say frequently, pray without ceasing. Why? Prayer is scalar energy. If you're constantly praying, then you're constantly imparting scalar energy. Not only does it benefit you, but it benefits the world. That's what we're going to eventually realize, that non-physical scalar energy has a direct and immediate effect on the physical world. Prayer, thought, creativity, imagination, emotion, all of that is scalar energy. It's a broadcast of scalar energy. And that non-physical expression serves to create the physical world around us.
Well, I'd like to put this out there for people to consider. I once heard a very wise person say that every thought is a prayer. And if you can program yourself to think positive thoughts, to put out that positive energy, you're putting out, as I understand it, scalar energy, and thereby leading a spiritual life and praying without ceasing. That is a little bit difficult to do unless you remain present to your thoughts, which is why it's so important to stay conscious. And when we're not conscious, our minds are going all over the place, monkey brain, if you will. And so, you know, the practice of meditation is very helpful in centering, just taking time out to breathe, whatever you need to do to bring you back to a place of being in touch with what's really going on in the present moment. And, you know, if you have a moment where you realize you've lapsed, that's a moment of awareness, and you can bring yourself back at that point in time. Getting back to interactions between people, I've heard it said that it is very important to pick and choose the people that you interact with and to surround yourself with positive people, places, and things. And now this is making more and more sense to me. And likewise, it's important to shield yourself against toxic emotions, behaviors, any form of abuse. I think it's very important for people that have been victims to work on eliminating that stance from their lives so that they do not end up in a circular fashion where they're repeating becoming a victim, exposing themselves to toxic elements and toxic people. What do you think about that, Tom?
I think that's quite articulate. Thank you so much. Yes, if we find ourselves in a negative environment, it's up to us, it's incumbent upon us to correct that. Now, if we can correct it, fine. If not, well, my adage is to move on. If there's something that I can correct and make the better, I'll do that, and everybody will benefit. Now, if some people don't want to listen, or if it's simply just a bad environment, well, I'll excuse myself. I'm not going to be brought down, so to speak. I won't partake in the nonsense. And I think we all realize that, but we just have to have the willpower to say no. Sometimes you have to say no to people or circumstances. You just have to have that backbone. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't love people. That doesn't mean that you're going to abandon them. But that does mean that you want to set yourself apart from that negativity. You see the world for what it is, but you don't jump into that negativity and become part of that negativity. You stand aside and you say no to that, and hopefully your example will teach others. Your example will teach others that that might be nonsense and that might be destructive behavior. So let's not do that. Of course, sure.
Well, sometimes it does mean saying goodbye, which is not the same thing as abandonment. If you detach with love and wish somebody well at whatever level, and sometimes you just need to break the tie and leave, and always to eliminate judgment wherever possible, to do a personal inventory on a daily basis if you can, to work on areas where you are engaged in negative thought patterns or judgments, and to just release it up to the universe to free yourself, because you're the only one that's doing harm if you hold on to a grudge or a resentment. And I think it's very important to look at people that you have problems with along life's path and to see what it is about, what buttons it is that they're pushing, because oftentimes it involves areas where we need to do work for ourselves, on ourselves. And this is a spiritual journey that we're on. The human experience is an amazing experience if you allow it to unfold and take action in it. And do not be a dormant act. Do not react. Move forward. Don't look back. What do you think?
Thank you. And again, well spoken. I can't put it any more fluently than that. This world is for the taking, so to speak. And God wants everybody to be happy and to engage. And I would say the greater majority of people and the greater majority of circumstances are uplifting. And we have a lot to learn. I would say there's only a minority, a small group of people that we really need to avoid. So let's, as well as circumstances. So I look at each day as an opportunity. I welcome people. I welcome their thoughts. I welcome circumstances. I'm an open book. And really, if I find myself in that state, in that presence of mind, there's very few times that I really need to say no to the world or no to a person. It's just finding my way into that proper environment. Maybe I'm blessed. I'm surrounded by great friends, loving friends. I'm healthy. I live in a beautiful country, the United States of America. I think this, again, is the land of opportunity, especially in the United States. The world is there for our taking. We are to seize the day and to enjoy it. And I think our attitude, our disposition is part of the puzzle. It's a big part of the puzzle. And eventually,
yes.
Ultimately, people make the world, people inherit the world that they have created on their own. We make it or break it on our own. Sure, there's some people are more fortunate, perhaps lucky. But ultimately, we create the world, and we are responsible for our world, our immediate environment. We are responsible for that. Whether we realize that or not, our voluntary and involuntary actions have led us down that road. Ultimately, we inherit the world that we've created.
Well, I think that word responsibility underscores such an important point, that we all need to take responsibility for the lives that we create, because some people will maintain that we co-create with God. You could take that a step further as a child of God, or as being made in the image of God. In essence, you are a creator. And so be careful what you put out. Be careful what you say. You have two ears and one mouth. Consider that. And just move forward with the positivity that you can manifest within yourself to stay aligned with that energy. We live in a vibrational universe, and it sounds like this is where scalar energy comes in. Is that true?
Yes, thank you. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Question, have you always been on this path, Tom, the spiritual path, or is it something you discovered along the way?
No, I had good Christian parents, and I've been on this spiritual path all of my life, and I'm happy to say that this is the path that I've chosen. It brings me immense happiness. I can understand the world. I can understand the universe, people, God. It's an enlightenment. I am excited. The world does not, if you will, mystify me. I understand. I see the purpose. And when you see the purpose behind God's plan, then you have a different outlook, a different aspect comes into play. You see the divine purpose. I wake up every day and I'm happy to be alive, and there's no day that I'm not happy because I see the purpose. I see the goal. If people see the purpose, if they have a goal in mind, it changes everything. It will change everybody's outlook.
Well, you have such innate enthusiasm. And to me, that is one of the key ingredients in creating those positive vibrations that can, along with an attitude of acceptance and an attitude of gratitude, can help you manifest what you desire. Let's see if Lori has any other questions. Lori, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm just listening.
Okay. Well, like I said, feel free to jump in if you do have any questions. Tom, let's get back to some of the experiences you've had in your laboratory. What unique experiences have you witnessed working in the laboratory?
Routinely, I'm able to illuminate light bulbs in my laboratory without having to plug in a light bulb to any electrical outlet. In other words, I can hold a light bulb in my bare hands, and the atmosphere is invigorated, if you will, by way of scalar energy. Scalar energy in my local environment within my laboratory will readily illuminate light bulbs. Now, that points towards a means of energy generation by way of scalar energy. If we can illuminate light bulbs easily, routinely, just by accessing the atmosphere, the thin air, if you will, of my laboratory, imagine what that means. No longer will we need a substation, a power plant. No longer will we need cables and transformers. No longer will we need electrical wiring in our homes. We will be able to transmit wireless energy, just as if we are transmitting a wireless cell phone communication. In the future, we will not need a grid system for electricity, for, if you will, scalar energy. Scalar energy is a wireless transmission of energy. It will replace the grid system that we're on now. Ultimately, scalar energy will be the substitute, will supplant coal and gas and oil, nuclear, hydrothermal power, etc. So what I have experienced in my laboratory locally is that scalar energy is indeed a force field that can illuminate objects easily, readily. Eventually, I want to be able to do that at a distance. I want to be able to light up a light bulb on 1,000 miles away. If I can achieve that, that will serve as an indication that scalar energy will be a very much a tenable resource of energy. It will be very much in vogue, if you will, to be able to illuminate by way of this energy, scalar energy. That's one of the consequences of scalar energy that I have observed frequently in my laboratory. Another one is that every time I'm working with my scalar energy instruments, I am charged. I have a lot of energy. Now, why? Well, frankly, it's this divine energy that I'm working with that makes me euphoric. My spirit is elated. And it only stands to reason if I'm working with the force field, the life force field of the universe, that this would make me buoyant, that this would make me happy. Invariably, it does. I'm a happy person. One of the reasons why I'm so happy is I'm working in close proximity with high-powered scalar energy instruments that serve to balance my 7 chakras. Scalar energy serves to improve my mood, my emotional state. Many people have told me that scalar energy has served to improve their mental state to the point that depression is reversed. Or some people have gone on to say that phobias in some way have been lifted, or that some type of emotional roadblock, some type of psychological hurdle has been overcome. All of that points to this information system, this scalar energy intelligence, that serves to correct, that serves to impart this perfect intelligence. If we can impart perfect intelligence, then we're going to be able to overcome depression. We will be able to overcome phobias. The mind just reels with opportunities. This is what scalar energy will present to mankind.
Wow. I mean, you have really, really talked about how we can conserve in so many ways as far as energy goes, energy such as we know it, our own personal energy. Absolutely amazing, amazing. Do you have any special things that you would like to say about the treatments that you do? And once again, I invite you to put forth your website. If there are any treatment modalities that you perform, please feel free to tell us about that now.
Sure, I'd love to do that. I offer 3 universal treatments with scalar energy. And the reason I consider them universal is that everybody can benefit from scalar energy. Number one, I'm able to disassemble germs. I'm able to routinely now break apart to disassemble the molecular structure of viruses, bacteria, fungi, protozoan. I call that the pathogenic cleanse. Number two, with scalar energy, once again, I can control physical nature, physical forms. I am now able, with scalar energy, to assemble nutrients, such as vitamins and antioxidants, minerals and amino acids. Scalar energy allows me to assemble nutrients inside the human body. And the third modality that I offer is scalar energy will allow me to correct the 7 chakras of the body. Well, in so doing, many people will experience, again, this feeling of elation. They're happy. Scalar energy will serve to create an atmosphere of euphoria. Why? You're correcting the 7 chakras, and many people say they have a feeling of bliss, or they feel a greater sense of energy, a surge of energy. So those three modalities I offer, again, they are universal. Everybody can benefit from them. I treat people for a span of 30 days. I treat people 30 consecutive days with scalar energy. And invariably, after 30 days, the majority of people that I've treated report to me that they feel better. The majority of people say that, yes, they have experienced some type of improvement in their health. Well, that only stands to reason. Why? Again, scalar energy is fundamental. Scalar energy is a fundamental force in nature, allows me to control the body and to produce this harmony, to produce this state of health and bliss. All of this points to, in the future, being able to treat millions of people by way of scalar energy. If I can do it as one man, as one individual, imagine what this means when the world will embrace scalar energy and we will be able to address disease and many psychological disorders, all by way of scalar energy. And all you need is a photograph in order to treat people. Well, invariably, we'll be able to treat 500,000, 1 million people a day, all by way of photographs, regardless of time and space. And in so doing, we'll be able to improve their health. It's universal health care for the planet. That's where we're going with scalar energy. It will be accepted worldwide as universal health care.
Can it be used to treat addiction?
Yes. Some people that have gone through a month or two of my program have told me that they're not so inclined for alcohol or for narcotics. I can't say that with a blanket statement, but some people have reported that they've been able to give up on those addictions. At least they've been weakened. How about attenuated? Some of the addictions have been weakened.
I would imagine that it could also work on process addiction, since there's a chemical reaction that takes place in the brain when people engage in compulsive behaviors, be it compulsive sex, be it compulsive gambling, overeating. A lot of these different compulsive behaviors that have also been framed as addictions, too. What do you think about that?
Yes, I would agree. I would agree. Scalar energy is in some ways going to reprogram the psyche, reprogram the chakras, reprogram the mind. And in so doing, people will, be able to overcome these addictions. Sometimes this is just not a chemical addiction. It has some type of emotional intrigue about it. It has this ability to grab us, to control our psyche, to control our impulses. Well, scalar energy, I believe, will be self-correcting. It will correct the seven chakras. In so doing, it will correct our conscience.
Wow. Well, Tom, I think on that note, we can call it a day, but I want to have you back again 6 months from now. Would you be willing to do that?
I will. I'd love to. Thank you, David. I would.
It's been a wonderful, wonderful program, and I thank you so much. I wish you and Lori blessings for the upcoming holidays, whatever holidays you celebrate. And
thank you. And likewise.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings in human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.